hell that I was in, I'd do anything to be better.
I thought like a lunatic.
You kind of just have like that little bit of hope that it will get better.
You're gonna make it.
This began my surrender.
I am a witness of my own growth.
It's a life beyond your wildest dreams, and I just have to say, it works if you work it.
My story, that's what I share.
You're listening to Far From Finished, a weekly podcast where we share new, real-life stories of hope and triumph, told by the people who live them. Today's story comes to us from...
My name is Thomas. My sobriety, my pain date is March 14th, 2011. I started using when I was 17. And before that, I mean, I grew up in a fairly, a big family, have three siblings, two older brothers, a younger sister. My house was always a little chaotic. All the kids were vying for attention from my parents, and my dad traveled a lot when I was a kid. So it was just us and my mom. And I grew up as a very sensitive kid. And I was very bookish. I was kind of a bit of an introvert, and I had trouble. I had trouble socializing with people outside of my family. Like my brothers and my sister tended to be my friends, and we were recruiting the neighborhood. And hanging out with other kids my age, it was really hard for me to make friends, especially since we traveled around a lot when I was young, and I seemed to always be in a different place without any word of warning. So I learned to turn inward, and the first time I used, was with a couple of friends of mine in high school. We got my friend's parents were gone one weekend. We broke into the liquor cabinet, very cliche. We took down the bottle of tequila, and I got drunk right away, blacked out, threw up. It was awful, and I loved it because it was the first time where all that sensitivity and all that nervousness and social anxiety was gone, and I felt very much at home in that state. I feel like I had found something I'd been looking for without knowing that I was looking for it. So when I discovered it, I wanted more right away. So I think, in hindsight, I don't think I developed an addiction. I think I was an addict from day one. And because I feel like I was always using something to self-medicate and to calm myself down, whether it was retreating from the world or getting lost in books or just getting lost in silence, anything to help me deal with the feelings inside I didn't know how to deal with. And when I found drugs and alcohol, it was a very fun, very easy, and very effective way of doing that. I jumped into active addiction right away. Because my first experience was a blackout, and my second one probably was as well. I did not ramp up to addiction. I started at the point of every time I picked up, every time I got a drink, I downed it, I finished it, I raced to that numb blackout state as soon as possible. So right from the beginning, I didn't use like the people around me used. They seemed to do it for fun, and I did it for just checking out. And I think the experiences early on where, we were all young, so the way I drank and used got me a reputation as just a hard-charging addict, an alcoholic. We didn't have words for it, obviously, back then, but I was the one who was known for, I'd be the last one at the party. I'd be shutting down everything. I would drink or use anything you put in my hand. So I began to identify with that right away. It became a way of being in the world. Like, oh, I'm the guy. I'm that guy. I'm not the guy who's always going to go extra with anything you give me. I'm the guy who's going to go all night. I'm the guy who's going to get drunk faster than you. It became a very easy way to craft an identity for myself in the world. So I think the addiction for me was built on a false persona. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what was missing in my life. But I used the addiction and the popularity and the access it gave me to fill that hole up with somebody. It started in high school, and it got worse in college. Thursday through Sundays were pretty much I was going to be either high or drunk. And I struggled through school. I missed a lot of good opportunities. And when I got out of college, it got even worse because everybody I knew went on to, they partied in college with me, but after they were done, they went on to building their lives, starting their careers. And I just kept partying. I just kept drinking and using. And I missed the boat on the next step. So when I got out of college, I got really lost. I didn't know what I was doing or where I was going. I ended up working for my father for a couple of years. He had started a jazz club down in Savannah, Georgia. And I went down there. And if you know anything about Savannah, it is not a place that encourages sobriety. I latched into a bar culture there, a late night culture, and started living like a vampire. I was up all night. All of my friends were drunks, addicts. And as the years went on, like, my life just got smaller and smaller and smaller and harder and harder. I just went from, I went from that job to a series of worse jobs with fewer responsibilities. I worked at a place for a few months, drift to another one. The places I lived got cheaper and crappier as I went along. So I just started sinking into my addiction and not caring about it. Just kind of throwing my life away. It got a little better when I met the woman who would later become my wife, who kind of became my one little anchor into normalcy. And it was a very rocky relationship from the beginning. Because of that, I just could not be relied upon. I was lucky enough for her to stick through me through all that, but my addiction got worse from that point, in that it kind of went underground. I was trying to get better for her, not for me. So I ended up just using in ways that I could easily hide. So I went from, the drugs that I had been using and the alcohol to pills and prescription pills and just stuff I could more easily get away with. At least so I thought. From the outside, it's very clearly getting worse. But I got more isolated in my using. I got more isolated socially. She was the only person I really saw anymore. And mentally, I started to just deteriorate. I mean, my spirit at that point was just, hanging on by just a little tiny thread. So I got more into, I started crossing these lines, and I started stealing pills, prescription pills from people in my family. I started hiding more, talking less, and my addiction really just started eroding whatever was left of my, what little bit was left of my self-esteem. And after that, it was just a very quick slide down into a suicidal depression. That's where my addiction ended. I just hit rock bottom, physically and emotionally, and I started to make plans to end my life. Getting to that point of suicidal depression was horrible for me and for my wife and everyone else in my life, but it was a necessary thing to go through. Like, I could not figure my way out of this hole I was in that I dug for myself. And so the only way out really was to just completely fall apart. And that's basically what happened. I think a psychological breakdown is either going to kill you or it's going to take you onto the next phase of your life. And that's what happened to me. My wife left town one weekend, and I went out and just bought all the booze I can carry back to the apartment. I stayed up all night, just got seriously drunk. And in the morning, I took a bus out to the beach here in Los Angeles with an X-Acto knife, and I was like, okay, this is it. When I got there, I'll never forget it. It was a really sunny, beautiful morning. I went down to the beach, found a spot, and I passed by this guy. He looked like a homeless guy. He'd been sleeping on the beach, and he was kind of waking up and getting himself together, and he looked at me and he said, "That's going to be a great day." And for some reason, that just tripped something in my head. Like, here's this guy who's clearly has nothing, and he's just, I don't know. It felt like this is the intervention or some kind of message I just needed to hear. I called the suicide hotline after that, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what else to think, and I wasn't really expecting anything. I was just looking for somebody to give me a reason not to do this. And I talked to the hotline probably about it may have just been a 10-minute conversation, but it felt like we talked for an hour. And I finally told them where I was, and the police showed up. You know, suddenly I'm just surrounded by cops, all pointing guns at me, telling me to put the knife down. I just gave up. I was like, okay, well, this is it. No idea what's going to happen, but it was the first full moment of surrender. I surrendered to the moment. And I ended up, I was taken to the police station and booked that day into to a psych ward. I spent 2 weeks there. My wife and my family came to see me, and I was a total mess, obviously. But they started making plans to get me into a rehab. I went from there to 30 days up in Pasadena. And rehab for me was an incredible life-changing experience. But that's where I found my second chance. And that's where I started coming back to myself. I started writing. I was removed from the world. And my wife was extremely supportive. And she said, look, you have 30 days. Don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about our life. You're outside of all that. It's time to focus on you. And I had never been given permission or given myself permission to do that. And so I threw myself full force into what they were telling me. I finally laid down all that ego, all that resistance. I just said, you know, I'm going to do whatever anyone tells me to do here. I'm going to follow directions for once in my life. That day on the beach, I consider, in a way, I did die to my old life. Before that day and after that day, everything was different. And I had a second chance. And I started asking myself, you know, what am I doing here? Why did I stick around? Why did I come to this life? What is it I've always wanted to do? And recovery for me was, it wasn't just getting clean. It was recovering me, recovering my soul, recovering my, you know, true identity, recovering my connection to the world. When I left rehab, the first day I had a panic attack. I was so scared to go back into the real world, go back into my life. I didn't know what I was going to do. I really didn't know how to live like a normal person. And it was very challenging. The first year was me wanting to use probably every day and finding reasons every morning not to, and sticking to the program and sticking to the rituals I built for myself in rehab. You know, I would get up, I would meditate, I would pray, I would make gratitude lists. I would just remind myself, you know, all the good things in my life and all the possibilities. And I would just try to get through that day. And I spent the first 9 months out of rehab living in sober livings. I wasn't ready to go home. And that was hard too, but that was a really good experience. As the days went on and the months went on to that first year, it got, I wouldn't say it got easier, but it got more exciting. So every day started turning into this, an adventure in living. Like, okay, well, what's going to happen today? What new thing is going to happen? How am I going to face these challenges? How am I going to show, use what I've learned to beat the day and get through it and beat the addiction? And as it went on, I started to really hear. I would go to two meetings a day, and I started to hear, as my brain thought out, I started to hear people and what they were saying and what surrender meant and not fighting this meant and just accepting who I am. And recovery became about freedom, not about being sick or being challenged. Because that was really different for me. Like when I was using, I always considered myself broken in some way, fundamentally. I couldn't see how other people got through life and thrived and succeeded. And I thought, this could work for other people, but for some reason it doesn't work for me. Something must be wrong. Something, I just like came out of the box with a defect or something. And I would use that word a lot, broken, lost. I thought walking around town being around normal people, I felt like some kind of alien, some kind of robot. And in recovery, I found that I really regained my humanity. You know, I'm not different. I'm not broken. Everybody has issues and challenges to one degree or another. Like that's something beautiful. That's something very human. And it was a slow process of coming back to life. Yeah, I had written ever since I was a little kid. I liked to write stories and short stories and poetry. And when I got in college, I decided, you know, what I really want to do is be a novelist. I want to write books. And I was using it the whole time. So I would always have a notebook with me. I would scribble down, you know, story and book ideas and never get started on anything and never finish anything once I did start. So I collected this trunk full of notebooks full of just these random scribbles. And they were great ideas. And looking back now through those things, I could see that my creativity refused to die out. It was the one little spark of life that kept me going. And I think then there was something inside of me that was just refused to die. And so when I was in rehab, I had this counselor, you know, he asked me, what's one thing you've always wanted to do that now you have the freedom to actually do that you will do it? And I told him, I didn't even hesitate. I said, write a book. So he said, okay, every day you're going to work towards writing that book. If you don't do anything else that day, just remember that's your purpose now. Getting clean to write that book. You're not doing it for anybody else. That will come later. Don't even think about that. What's the one thing? Why did you get clean? You got clean to do this. So I started writing that night in my notebook, and I had been thinking about being in rehab, and this part of my brain always turns things into story ideas. So I started thinking about rehab as kind of this way station, you know, between worlds. I tend towards like sci-fi fantasy ideas. But anyway, when I got out, I was having dinner with a friend of mine, it's another writer, and we were spitballing ideas about how to use this, my experiences in the story. And he said, you know, kind of half joking, like, oh, you should write about vampires and AA. And I just, something clicked. And I'm like, oh, wait, that's the book. Vampires, blood addiction, alcohol addiction, it all started to come together. So I started writing, and I would do it every day, just the story ideas, character ideas. And so writing became part of my recovery routine. I have to meditate and pray. I have to go to meetings, and I have to write in my notebook. And so it kept life very simple and very focused. And the writing became a way of purging and dealing with and confronting all the stuff I had gone through. The characters in my books, like they're monsters. The main character's a vampire. He's an alcoholic. And the premise of the book is that Alcoholics Anonymous was founded by vampires in secret to keep each other, to help each other survive this blood addiction. So writing every day became a way to look at my past and unpack it and take apart that idea of myself as a monster and look at all those regrets and put them on the page in a safe way and just get it out. And I started to see things objectively. You know, I gave my character the same things I was feeling. Right out of rehab, I was really emotionally very raw, very confused, very angry, but also very brokenhearted about the world and my past. And I felt very guilty about everything I had done. And I put it into this character, and as he processed it, I processed it. And I started to see, you know, the good side of who I had always been, the stuff that got buried and how I could bring it out. And so the book for me and the writing became a way of not just delving into my own addiction, but sharing it. I wanted to talk to other addicts through this writing. I wanted to reach out to people who had regrets and shame about their past and wanted to, you know, anybody who had hit a rock bottom and wanted to try again and not give up. And it really became a way for me to reach out. I knew that I wasn't just writing for myself. I wanted to find people through this. I wanted people to read it and relate to it. And I wanted to give them a message of hope. I mean, so much of the genre is, you know, dystopia and, you know, nihilism and just negativity. And I wanted to give something else. I wanted these characters to tell people that, you know, you can deal with your past, you can move on, you can redeem yourself, your own life, you can try again. All those hopeful feelings you find in recovery, I thought was such a beautiful message to other, you know, monsters. To people in treatment and people struggling, I would say that you don't know it and you may have forgotten it, but you are, you're a beautiful soul, you're a beautiful human. And underneath all the drugs and all the alcohol and anything you've done, you are still that beautiful soul, and you always can come back to that. I think the message I heard when I was, you know, my darkest point from other addicts was that, you know, you don't have a choice about your addiction. It's there. It will always be there. It's active, but you do have a choice to ask for help at any point. And when you do that, there are always people who are going to answer that. You're never alone. You know, when you reach out, you will find 100 people reaching back. And we've all been through this. And it will work for you the way it's worked for us. My life today versus when I was using, I know a lot of people say, I heard that a lot in early recovery. I thought my worst day sober is better than my best day used, something like that. what I want to add is that my life today is, it's not anything I could have imagined when I was using it. It's literally beyond my wildest dreams. And I did not have much expectations for my life when I was using. I didn't even think I would survive. But the life I found today is completely free and open. And when I say anything is possible now, I mean, it's literally true. And that's a message that I never heard when I was using, and I probably would not have believed it. But I can only say, on the other side of it, anything you want to do in sobriety, you will do. If you want to write a book, you will write a book. If you want to start a business, if you want to, I don't know, learn to play guitar, learn to take up skydiving. Anything you want to do that you always wanted to do, you will do it in recovery. Anything is literally possible. And that may be something people aren't ready to hear when they're using, but file it away and just try to have faith that it's true.